Little change of pace here. Let's shift gears just a little bit, because you also happen to have, besides Caterpillar, which is a very big thing, another big thing, you have the Poet Laureate of the state of Illinois with you. Let's see if he's in those Caterpillar boots. I'm talking about Kevin Stein, ladies and gentlemen. Joining us right now on the way, the Poet Laureate. I got two of his books right here. Hey, Kevin, how are you? Good to see you. Oh, that was you down there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I tried to trip you, but...
Okay, very good. I like that. I like that in a Poet Laureate. So does that pay, Poet Laureate?
Yeah, I've got a mansion, a dacha on the Volga. Nah, no money.
It's an honor, huh?
It is. Indeed, it is. And Illinois had a long history of great poet laureates. Carl Sandburg.
Was he?
Gwendolyn Brooks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like, you know.
Is that daunting. A lot of pressure on you then?
Yeah, yeah,
sure. Produce poetry?
Yeah.
It's a stressful occupation, I would think.
Yeah, kind of like cab driving or English teacher. Right?
But, I mean, once you're the laureate, you're like, you got to have really big poems, don't you? Meaningful, not that your poems aren't meaningful. Ordinarily.
Yeah, you've read my books, yeah. So.
Does that put pressure on you?
Well, actually, it is true, because folks do look at you, and they expect the work to be a little more than the pedestrian, if you will. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you formerly do pedestrian poetry?
Yeah. A lot of hoofing.
Poetry for pedestrians?
Yeah,
they can read while they're walking, that sort of thing.
Just like texting, walk in the street, boom, they're gone.
Where are you from originally?
From Indiana.
From Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And what brought you to these parts?
I teach at Bradley University.
That's what brought you? You came from John mm-hmm. Bradley. Okay. Mm-hmm. Did they lure you here from Indiana?
Yes, yeah. The view of the river.
Yeah. Are you a Caterpillar professor of poetry?
I actually am, and I guess I bleed yellow.
How do you like that? That's pretty cool. See, there's another thing, Caterpillar, sponsoring all these professors and so forth. And what are we currently teaching at Bradley?
I teach a lot of poetry writing classes in American literature. Those are my degrees.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you do. Do you teach poetry writing, but do you teach poetics as well?
Yeah,
Overviews and...
Yeah, I get to do the whole shebang. Yeah.
What's your favorite period as far as poetry goes and teaching it?
Yeah, contemporary American for the most part. I like to...
Because you're in it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm alive in it. Yeah. I'd like to be surprised. So there's always something new going on.
Were you always a poet, or were you a monk at one time and decided you wanted to do something else?
Now that I've heard about his herb garden, I think we should go hang out there.
I think we should. I think we should. But, I mean, it's been straight line poetics for you? Or?
Well, you know, I wanted to be a shortstop for the Cincinnati Reds or the point guard for the Boston Celtics, and being short and slow, that didn't help.
So poetry is just a lot easier than those things?
Yeah. It was something to fall back on. Yeah. Yeah.
And teaching it and the chance for you to actually make it, to gain back some of the ground that it's been lost over the years from having poetry taught in schools, by teachers who don't either like poetry or understand it or know how to teach it.
I think that's really true. Yeah. You know, you got to catch kids before they learn to hate poetry.
Yeah.
Because we do make it oftentimes. We have wonderful teachers, but we make mistakes. We make it like a Where's Waldo search for meaning in the poem.
Yeah.
Poems are more rebellious, and they're more about sound and surprise.
Yeah, well, that's very true. And I understand that you'd be willing to read us some of your poetry.
I would yes.
Is read the right thing, or is another word for it, isn't it?
Reading is the right thing, yeah.
Evoke some of your poems?
Incant, yeah. My wife and I got an opportunity in our family to be a Nielsen family, and we did the voting sort of stuff, and we did all of that. And if you keep track of everything you watch on all of your TVs for a week, it's kind of creepy. And so this poem is called On Being a Nielsen Family. We pocket five ones when we agree, fingered cash our soul's ransom, and a family viewership record book for each TV, of which we've three. We are the postmodern Descartes, pledging, I watch, therefore I am. We're the grand experiment that was America, both scientists and the mouse with a human ear stitched to its pink back, checking the appropriate idiot boxes. We're our own peeping Tom, peering in. On stage, we're culture's disguise, the way a bickering couple makes nice once the bell ding-dongs neighbors in for cocktails and unsalted cheese nips. Though we watch Oprah, we circle BBC News. Though it's Jerry Springer, we mark Charlie Rose. No. Not South Park, not Cops, not World's Funniest Animal Tricks, but History Channel and Discovery, NASA Live, Nightline, and Devotionals. The Food Network's Thanksgiving Day vegan special. We are watched, watching, watching ourselves watched. We are never enough, so the lie is as we wish to be.
Oh, thank you. Very nice, Kevin Stein. You know, that's how you can tell you're a poet, if you can say unsalted cheese nips and have people pay attention to it.
Are there really unsalted
cheese nips? I have no idea.
I think I just made it up.
I don't know. You said it. It must be true. You know, it strikes me as you're reading it. So much what poetry about is spoken, you know.
Yes.
And it's taught by people who can't really read it, to people who've never seen it before or see it on a page. It's sort of like Shakespeare. When you try and just read it, when you hear it, you go to Shakespeare, it sort of makes sense to you even if you don't get all the words, you know.
Oh, it sounds so, poetry, yeah. So much sound. And, you know, in ancient Rome, you published a poem by reading it aloud in public before an assembled group.
Yeah.
So, you know, poetry's roots are oral and they're performative.
Yeah.
And just as you say.
Is most of what you do humor as well, or is some, I'm sure?
Some, yes, you know, because you can really bore an audience by being pretty heavy and profound.
Yeah, but you want to be, right? Because well, you're a poet, and yeah. That's part of the job description.
That's true. A beret and elbow patches on your tweed coat.
Yeah. You know, in 76, I got divorced the second time I'm working on. In 76, anyhow, so I went out to Naropa, and I went to the School of Disembodied Poetics, and I got to take a class with Ginsberg.
Oh, wow.
And it was so, honestly, God, yeah. I mean, I didn't know, I didn't think I was going to be a poet or anything like that, but, and he was teaching, he said people didn't know what they were rejecting, poets didn't know, people trying to write poetry didn't know what they were rejecting, so he taught a poetics overview, going back to, you know, the Middle Ages and all the way on up through all the various styles of poetry. And he used to draw out the pentameter on the board and stuff of the stuff he was reading. Because people said, you have these poets now, you thought they didn't know what they were actually going beyond or rejecting in their poetry. So he was teaching poetry again.
I think that's really true. Yeah. To be rebellious, you have to know what you're rebelling against. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is you have to sort of have a feel of why you're doing it, don't you think? I mean,
well, of course,
it's a unique form of writing.
It's condensed, and it demands so much patience from the writer and so much patience from a reader too.
Yeah, and it really is more. It's for you. It's a verbal thing. I mean, for a poet, it's a verbal. It's a spoken thing that's put down on page. Don't you think?
Yeah, it's all about the sound, really. Yeah. You know, when you're a young kid and you love nursery rhymes, you love, you know, Jack Sprat could eat no fat, his wife could eat no lean, so between the them both, you see, they lick the platter clean.
Was that one of yours?
I'd be more famous, yeah. But you know, when you were a kid, you loved that sound, and you weren't trying to figure out the big meaning.
That's true, isn't it?
And yeah, was she really hungry? And you know, it was.
Yeah.
It's just exactly as you say. It's all sound.
Yeah. School actually ruins a lot of things. Just about every discipline and all that I think about it. Would you do? Care to read another one?
Well, I can do a short one.
Do a short one.
Yeah,
okay.
I got asked to put a poem into a time capsule, and so my boss asked to see my work first and approved it, and then I slipped this poem in underneath the book's cover. And I suppose I've given myself away now. But this one is titled Poem Buried in a Time Capsule to be Unearthed in Spring 2097. Citizens, what did you find when awakened this morning? Your sky as blue as ours, a few sparrows rustling in the lime green leaves of April maples. All people fed and housed and free. This would be the great blessing, though a far greater surprise.
Excellent. Wonderful. Thank you so much. It's a great pleasure to meet you. Kevin Stein, ladies and gentlemen, Poet Laureate of the State of Illinois. Here, if you are a couple of collections that you can get, Sufficiency of the Actual, poems by Kevin Stein, and Wrestling Lipo for the Remote. All excellent. Thank you so much.